This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is off this week. Congressman Ed Markey is the dean of the Massachusetts delegation. He's currently the state's longest-serving congressman. The Malden Democrats defeated every challenger since 1976 when he won the special election to succeed Congressman Torbert McDonald, who died in office. Now, the 37-year House veteran is in another special election. He's a candidate for the Senate seat recently vacated by Secretary of State John Kerry. He's running for the Democratic nomination against fellow Congressman Stephen Lynch. Congressman Ed Markey joins us now. Mr. Markey, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you again.
Thank you, Meghna, so much.
Listeners, you can have a chance to ask your question of the congressman. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Congressman Markey, I wanted to start out with maybe you telling us a story that's indicative of your time in the House, because you've been a leader on many issues there. And I wonder if you could just take us back in time to maybe a particular legislative battle that was particularly a struggle or a challenge, and how you might have overcome that.
Well, I'll give you one good example. Each year, or each Congress, I used to bring an amendment out to the House floor to increase the fuel efficiency of the vehicles which we drive in America. The fuel economy standards had not been improved. A new law had not been passed since 1975. So in 2001, 2003, 2005, I kept bringing the amendment out, but I only was able to get 155 votes, 167 votes, 178 votes. But then we took over the Congress, the Democrats, in 2007. So I made it my goal with Nancy Pelosi to partner so that we could increase the fuel economy standards. And in December of 2007, she and I stood over George Bush's shoulder as he signed that bill. And now that law has been used by President Obama to mandate an increase to 54.5 miles per gallon, the fuel economy standards in our country by the year 2026, and that is 3 million barrels of oil per day, which is all of the oil from the Persian Gulf, dramatic reduces in greenhouse gases, but also a reinvention of the automotive industry. But for better or worse, I had to actually fight the automotive industry for a decade before we got to a point where we were able to pass that legislation. And I think now the auto industry is looking at an increase from 10 million up to 14 million vehicles, which they're going to sell in this coming year. So I'm very proud of that.
So, and as well you should be. And that makes me wonder, though, it's exactly that sort of perseverance and the relationships that you were talking about you formed over the years in order to get that legislation passed, your veteran status in the House. I mean, those are all things that you earned over time in your 37 years there. Why, you know, abandon all that to go to the Senate and be the junior member of the Massachusetts Senate delegation?
Well, unfortunately, the story that I just told you is now repeating itself. So back from 2001 to 2006, the Congress was controlled by Republicans, and they did not want to move on fuel economy standards or any other of the most important issues that we would work on. Only when I went to the majority and I was in a position to really influence positive policy was I able partnering with Nancy Pelosi to get something done, and over in the Senate it was Dianne Feinstein. So what I've decided is that the House is now controlled by Tea Party Republicans. The Senate is in Democratic control. And so if I take my experience, all of the bipartisan relationships that I've been able to develop on dozens of bills, and move over to the Senate, I think will be more effective in terms of partnering with Republicans in the Senate to construct legislation, working with President Obama, that then can isolate the Tea Party House Republicans so that maybe we can break that logjam. So that's my thought process. It's just how can I be most effective for the state of Massachusetts and for the country, and on that basis, I made the decision to announce for the Senate.
Well, on that note, one of our listeners, Greg Plant, sent us this question over Facebook. Greg writes that Senator Elizabeth Warren represents the more progressive and liberal electorate in Massachusetts already. And he says that the electorate overall in the state is more diverse than just the political leanings of the progressive wing. So he's wondering, what would distinguish you from Senator Warren in a way that might be representative of the Commonwealth as a whole if you were to join her in the Senate?
Well, I think that's a very good question. But the reason I'm running is that I think the state really wants to have two senators that represent the state in the same way that Ted Kennedy and John Kerry had represented the state for a generation. And that would be the goal that I would have, which is to partner with Elizabeth Warren for this era so that we, too, you know, following in the footsteps of Paul Tsongas, John Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, and John Kerry, to have this progressive voice of Massachusetts heard nationally. So that's why, you know, we have elections, because people then have to decide who do they want to go down there to have to fight the fights for Massachusetts that the voters would have fought if they could be down there in Washington themselves.
Let me ask you a question or two about the economy, because that is issue number one on just about everyone's mind, even to this day. This year so far, in 2013, we've seen corporate profits up. The stock market is up 11% this year. The economy grew faster in this first quarter than in any quarter since 2009. And today, the Labor Department reports that unemployment nationally is down to 7.6%, the lowest, as you know, since December of 2008, although the dark side to that may be because 500,000 people may have dropped out of the labor market entirely. But overall, looking at those numbers, it seems like good news for America, except when you look at workers and their wages, wages just aren't going up. I mean, over the past generation, we've seen wages barely keep up with inflation. So I'm wondering, you know, what's your thought about that? And in the Senate, you know, is there any possibility to perhaps champion legislation that might do something about the wage gap between working Americans and, say, corporate profits in this country?
Well, and that's a very good question. We have now seen 35 consecutive months of economic growth in the country. And moreover, December of 2008 is the date, because that was the point at which we were just seeing the end of the Bush administration, which had unfortunately allowed Wall Street to be turned into a casino, turning a blind eye to the problems which derivatives and credit default swaps and the securitization of unstable housing that had all been allowed to ultimately come back to haunt the entire economy. So I would say, as we look today at this issue of its impact upon ordinary families, I would say step one would be to increase the minimum wage. I think we should be looking at $9, $10 an hour. That usually serves as the floor, which then forces all wages above it to begin to be lifted out in the marketplace. I think that we're overdue for an increase in the minimum wage, and I think that would help. And I know the president is interested in advancing that issue, and my hope would be that it would become a high priority in the course of this year. I think that one of the goals that we have to have is to move more towards a full employment economy, because the more that we can accomplish that goal is the more pressure workers have to increase wages than the corporations have to find less expensive labor out in the marketplace.
Congressman Markey, if I may, we've actually got a lot of people, both voters and even some of your constituents who are on the line and would like to ask you a question.
Oh, sure.
So I'd love to be able to turn to them. Listeners, I'm speaking with Congressman Ed Markey. He's the dean of the Massachusetts delegation and currently in the race for the United States Senate in the special election we are in the midst of. Let's turn first and foremost to Malden, your stomping grounds, where Andrew is calling. You're on the air, Andrew.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's your question for the congressman?
I have a question. You know, Congressman Markey has had a fairly large national exposure over the last 20 years or so, and I would like to see if he could articulate to the viewers and listeners what he feels his most three significant accomplishments have been in, say, the last 20 years in terms of affecting the state of Massachusetts specifically.
Andrew, thanks for your call. Congressman Markey?
Good question. Well, back in the 1990s, I was the chairman over telecommunications, and so I worked to pass three bills. The first bill created the 18-inch satellite dish. The second bill moved over 200 megahertz that created the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth cell phone license that moved that whole industry to digital and the price under 10 cents a minute, and that's the year that people started padding their pockets for that device that they were carrying. And then in 1996, the broadband bill, the Telecommunications Act of 1996, that broke down the cable monopolies, broke down the telephone company monopolies, and allowed entrepreneurial companies out into this new broadband world that created Google and eBay and Amazon and Facebook and Twitter. But here in Massachusetts, we were a disproportionate beneficiary. We now have a sector here that is quite large that flourishes in this new world of competition in the broadband area. So tens of thousands of jobs were created as a result of those bills here in the Massachusetts economy. Next, the legislation that I worked on for clean energy to incentivize the production of clean energy jobs within our economy. It's now up to 70,000 jobs here in Massachusetts, and it's one of the fastest growing sectors, and I'm very proud of my work in that area as well. And finally, I think if I only have three, I would point over to health care. My vote on the health care bill, my vote for the health care bill, because that is just this dominant sector in the Massachusetts economy, and we are the leader, and that bill is going to help us as an economy to create more jobs that will ultimately, you know, help families be able to put food on the table, but also help to reinvent the way in which healthcare is delivered in our country.
Let's take another call. Greg is calling from Acton. You're on the air, Greg.
Yes, good afternoon, Congressman.
Thank you.
I would like to know if you would favor a tax, say, of 50% on campaign contributions at the federal, state, and local level, where the money would be used to prop up Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, et cetera, because political action committees and campaign contributors that are from the corporate world seem to have an immense amount of money to pour into campaign contributions. And I think this would be a very easy way to abolish some debt without taxing the consumers by raising taxes elsewhere. What do you think of that?
Greg, thanks for your call.
Yeah, I would not support a 50% tax on campaign expenditures. I would support a 100% tax on campaign expenditures so we can eliminate it from the entire political landscape. Okay? It just is a system now where, you know, the Koch brothers and Karl Rove last year just roamed around our country. Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission is a political pollution that has to be reversed. I agree with the caller that it is wrong, and we have to do something to get this money out of our political system. In fact, all three Republicans running for the Senate in Massachusetts this year are saying that they will not take the same pledge which Scott Brown took to keep out all of that money. And that was to his credit that he and Elizabeth Warren were able to reach that agreement. None of these three Republicans have agreed to do it. And it's one area where Stephen Lynch and I have agreed, which is that we have both said that that pledge should be honored. Massachusetts should be special.
Congressman Ed Markey, on that note about special interests and a place in which you and Stephen Lynch agree, in today's Boston Globe, columnist Scott Lehi, he wrote about campaign endorsement questionnaires that all candidates are asked to fill out by special interest groups, as you know, ranging from unions to environmental groups to other lobbying efforts. And Scott Lehi reports that while Republican Gabriel Gomez says he's not even going to sign such questionnaires at all, and Dan Winslow says he's going to release his, both you and your opponent, Stephen Lynch, refuse to make public any of these questionnaires that you've signed. And that raises some transparency issues. So why won't you release them?
Well, with most of these organizations, they want us to have our discussion with them so that we can talk to their members, and they can make up their mind as to whether or not they are going to support us. So I respect, you know, the process which the AFL-CIO puts in place. It is a process that they select, that they want us to honor, and so I try to do that.
Well, I mean, I wonder, because this isn't a partisan issue. It's more of a, in my mind, a public service and transparency issue, because Democrats in the past have really heaped criticism on Republicans, say, for signing Grover Norquist's no taxes pledge. And essentially, in these questionnaires, candidates make promises to special interest groups as well. So shouldn't the same, you know, no pledge or transparency standards apply to Democrats, too?
Well, here's the thing about my record, and you've already spoken about it, Meghna. I have a voting record of 37 years on every single position I have taken on every single issue. And so anyone can look at my voting record and determine exactly where I stand on every single issue. It's all there right now for anyone to look at.
Well, in the last few minutes that we have, Congressman Markey, I want to talk about what's coming up in the next couple of weeks, because the primary is April 30th. It's only a couple of weeks away. You're currently the front runner. But I wonder what lessons you take from the last special election we had, because ultimately in that general election, Scott Brown defeated Martha Coakley. And I'm asking because if you do become the Democratic nominee, as you know, what, 2.3 million voters in Massachusetts are unenrolled out of the 4 million registered voters. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, it seemed that the Democrats took those voters for granted in 2010. Do you think that there's a concern of that happening this time around, even though you're the front runner on the Democratic side right now?
There is no concern, Meghna. Since the day I announced, I have taken no days off. I have worked 12 hours, 7 days a week. I have been crisscrossing the state of Massachusetts. I'm building a world-class grassroots organization in all 351 cities and towns so that on primary day and on election day, we will be communicating with all of the voters. Mm. So, lesson learned in 2010.
Well,
that much I can promise you. The Democratic Party is not going to do anything other than work day and night to make sure that the vote gets out.
You've got the April 30th primary, first and foremost, to contend with. And according to some recent polling from WBUR and Mass Inc., of likely Democratic voters, even though you poll ahead, 40% of them have still yet to make up their minds. You've got the Democratic establishment behind you. Why do you think there's so many undecided voters on the Democratic side still? Are you not connecting in a certain way?
No, I think that poll is off. That poll is at variance with the Boston Herald poll and our own internal polling. So we don't actually have numbers that square up with the poll that you're referring to.
Okay, and final question comes from Joni McPhee, who asked us over Twitter, when is Congressman Ed Markey going to be in Central Mass? And she doesn't mean Worcester.
And she doesn't mean Worcester. That is funny, because I just marched in the in the St. Patrick's Day parade out in Worcester. Again, I'm going to be crisscrossing the state, and I will be, you know, I will be in community after community as this very brief race is conducted, and I will be in Central Mass, as I am going to be in every other part of the state. And the response, by the way, that I'm getting is quite strong out there. So, I'm on my way. I will be there, and I have been to Worcester many times already in the course of this race, and I've just opened up a Worcester field office for that entire region, and I'm going to use that as my base to get out into all of the surrounding communities.
Well, on that note, Congressman, I know we have to let you go. Congressman Ed Markey is running for the Democratic nomination in the special election for the United States Senate. Mr. Markey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Magna. I appreciate it.
And listeners, keep your questions and comments about this special election coming at our website, as always, radioboston.org. Stick with us. Up next, more of your feedback. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. Thank you.